Are you troubled by strange hockey trades in the middle of the night?
Do you experience feelings of dread about NHL free agency?
Have you or your family ever seen a New York Islanders game?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your mobile device and subscribe to Lighthouse Hockey Podcast from SB Nation today.
Our courteous and efficient hosts are ready to serve all of your Islander needs and worries.
Lighthouse Hockey Podcasts for New York Islanders fans.
Hello and welcome to, is this the third or the fourth installment, Lucas?
Fourth, third one I've been on, but fourth overall.
To the fourth installment of the Amazing Avenue Winter Meeting Special. I'm Ken Lavin. I'm joined today by Lucas Vlahos. How are you today, Lucas?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. I'm tired. It's been a long week.
Yeah, I can share that sentiment.
Only halfway there. So I guess we'll get to it then. So we're on the fourth day of the winter meetings, and today Gerrit Cole signed with the New York Yankees for 9 years, $324 million.
Yep.
I mean, this was kind of inevitable, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know that there's anything particularly interesting to say about him. He's a very good pitcher. He's being paid like it. Mm-hmm. There's a pretty good chance that by the time it gets really expensive and, you know, he'll be pitching for a different team. I don't know if there was a no trade, but that seems to be how a lot of these long deals are going.
Yeah, and he has to opt out after 5 years.
Okay. So
I will say, like, I generally think the top of the market contracts are actually some of the highest return on investment.
I agree.
Doing it for a pitcher still gives me at least a moment of pause because it's a pitcher.
Yeah, true. Like, I've always thought of like long contracts like that in terms of like duration. I've always thought of it basically like financing.
Yeah, like, you're basically amortizing the cost over the first 4 years, which is a fair way to think about it. Yeah. My point being that like Machado and Harper, not a second thought. Cole, I'd probably sit there and like think for 10 minutes and then do it anyway.
Yeah, probably. Probably same.
Just because
there's a lot of pitchers. There's risk in every elbow, so.
And shoulder. And
shoulder. Yeah, no, basically all the bits that like to break.
Yep.
Are all destroyed by the act of pitching. So, good job, Gerrit Cole.
Mets didn't even check in, shockingly.
Probably not. No, you know, they have to be more opportunistic. Specifically when mentioning Cole.
Pathetic.
Yes. I think the more opportunistic thing to do here would be to offer more money, considering...
You don't say. You don't say.
There's no... But I guess that's neither here nor there, seeing as they need to shed salary to sign...
Dylan Betances?
To sign Forcello.
Well, hopefully they won't be doing that anymore because of another thing that happened today, but I won't step on your toes here.
Oh, no, go for it. This is a very loose structure we have here.
Well, they, instead of, as the Yankees signed Gerrit Cole, the Mets signed the remains of Michael Wacha.
I thought you were going to talk about how Rick Porcello was shifting to wanting a one-year deal.
Apparently he has a three-year offer, to which I say press X to doubt.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised just because...
I'd be surprised. Like, he's bad.
But at the dollar point that he's likely to be signed at, does it really matter? 1 year versus...
I mean, if it's like a three-year, $15 million deal, no. But at the same time, Jordan Lyles only got 2 years, and he's been objectively better for 2.5 seasons now, so...
What was the AAV, though, on Lyles?
$8 million. So if Rick Porcello's getting a 3 year offer with a $5 million AAV, okay.
Yeah, true. Yeah, so it would have to be below that.
Nothing. Yeah. He had a 124 DRA minus last year. That is like unimaginably bad for someone who throws 174 innings. It's really bad.
Yeah, no, he's on the outshoot, but whatever.
I'm
generally a fan of teams that'll just be like, screw it, we'll eat the third year, you know? But also, Rick Porcello isn't that. There isn't enough upside there.
You're also eating the first 2 years.
Yeah, true. That's, you know.
Meanwhile, the Mets did Waka instead, who was just as bad as Porcello last year, but was better the 2 years prior. So I prefer that move to the one we all thought they would make.
Yeah, I don't mind this at all.
I don't hate it.
I wish that they aimed a little higher, but I also wish that they aimed higher than Rick Porcello or Porcello.
Yeah.
Waka was good once upon a time.
He was good as recently as last year. Like, he had an 89 DRA minus last year. So
yeah, my problem is I'm looking at Fangraphs.
And he was 81.6 in 2017. Bad in 2016, good in 2015. So, like, he's had shoulder issues, which are always more concerning to me than elbow issues. He might just be worked. But he's only, what is he, 28? He is 28. And he has a history of solid number two, number three level production. And he cost a fraction of what we thought Porcello would cost. So,
yeah, I was going to say that, you know, at some point I'll probably take a dive into, you know, his Brooks baseball page and Baseball Savant and stuff to try to see if there's any upside there or any signs of imminent danger. Mm-hmm. But at 1 year, $3 million, I'm not really feeling a rush at all.
Yeah. And look, like, if this was the follow-up move to saying, yeah, we know we have holes in the rotation, but we've spent on the bullpen, or, like, we signed Grandal or something.
Oh,
like,
no, this would be perfectly fine.
Right, but the problem is it's the only thing they'll do.
As far as, you know, fifth starters, you know, in which you're actually meaning a starter who's worse than the other four guys, as David Roth recently put.
Mm-hmm.
I like him a lot more than a lot of the other dudes they've been linked to.
Yep, absolutely. So. Like, and I think generally your fifth starter spot is very fungible. Like, if you can absolutely make the playoffs, you can absolutely win a division without a good fifth starter, and then you get to the playoffs and it doesn't matter anyway. So.
Yep. And there's lots of ways to kind of fake your way through it. You know, bullpenning is pretty popular these days, and the line between, like, long reliever and, you know, back end starter is thinner than it's ever been. Yep. So,
if there was a spot to go cheap given on the off season shopping list, this was it. So fine.
They in fact did.
Yeah. Hopefully, they do something else.
Yeah. I guess in other adjacently Mets-related news, Blake Treinen signed with the Dodgers. I have not seen the...
110.
So that's a raise from what he would have gotten in ARB, right?
Yeah, to be totally honest, I don't mind sitting out Treinen at 110. Again, under the presupposition that you spend the money elsewhere, which they won't do, but I don't love that gamble, honestly. I don't know. Treinen was bad for a long time. Had 1 year where he was good and also extremely lucky, and then went right back to being bad and hurt.
Yeah, I don't love, he's basically just a sinker guy, right?
Yeah, with a stupid good sinker that moves.
Yeah, no, it's legitimately a great sinker, but ultimately I am wary of betting on the one pitch guys to stay elite for very long, you know?
I think both of us have stated previously that our preference is to build depth in the bullpen. Mm-hmm. And I think you can build more depth with $10 million than betting it all on Blake Treinen to be healthy and good at the same time.
Yeah. At the very least, I'd rather do it than, you know, an upside play like Treinen.
That's, yeah.
I'd rather invest in certainty or, you know, spreading the risk around than a high variance bet, especially in a pen that's going to be thin.
Yep. You could probably
just
have
by
like
nature of them not having a lot of good dudes to start. Like,
and look, if you're already going to spend a $10 million AAV on a reliever, just go sign like Will Harris or something, who's better.
Yeah. The only reason why anyone should lament Trinan not being brought in house is that he's like the last one.
Mm-hmm. Will Harris hasn't signed yet, but they won't do that.
Who signed Slaves?
No, that was Will Smith.
God, there's so many that are.
Will Harris is a lefty reliever.
Yeah, from the Astros.
Yeah, and he actually was in the Carlos Gomez trade way back when. And then
I joked on Twitter after the World Series that he was pitching his way into a Mets bargain contract.
Yep. Yeah, I'd be totally fine if Will Harris is the big off-season bullpen move. At this point, I'd be okay with that.
I would have been fine with that on day one, honestly. Mm-hmm. He had a pretty good year last year.
He did.
And he's not going to get paid like it.
Yeah. I mean, if Trinan had signed a contract that was like 1-3 or 1-5, then I might have been a little annoyed. But at 1-10, whatever. Good luck, Dodgers.
Yes. Yep. And they can afford an upside play like this.
I'm actually surprised because their bullpen is trash. Their bullpen is Joe Kelly, whatever Joe Kelly is, the diminished Kenley Jansen, and Blake Trinan.
I think they can also throw prospect depth at it, though. Dustin May is probably going to be in the pen for them.
I think they said Urias is going to start, but he'll probably get some relief time. Maeda apparently wants to start. We'll see how that goes. Point is, their bullpen is not particularly good either.
It's not particularly good, but they generally are better about risk than
and they're also
and cutting bait when they have to, and they're also a much better team.
They're also just better at maximizing pitcher
skill set. They're pretty much better across the board.
Yeah. Shocking when you spend money both on your front office, your analytics department, and the actual on-field product.
Yeah, when you turn out better. Like you're trying to get every bit of value you can, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of vets who do things like make Brandon Nimmo play through a bulging disc in his neck and rushing Cespedes back for the Yankees. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just nonsense.
Yep. On that note, I guess we'll take a break. We'll be right back after this. Back after this.
This episode is sponsored by Stash, a smarter, simpler way to start investing. With Stash, you can begin investing in a wide array of companies and diversified funds for as little as $5. Stash offers unlimited trading with no add-on trading commissions, so you can invest without worrying about getting nickel and dimed. You can choose your own stocks and funds to build a personalized portfolio, or let Stash help build one for you. Stash demystifies investing with personalized financial guidance and education. They can even help you set up a plan for retirement saving. Stash will give you $10 today to get started investing. Just visit www.stash.app with the code SBNation. That's www.stash.app with code SBNation to get your $10 to start investing on Stash. Investment advisory services offered by Stash Investments LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. For disclosures and to learn how to claim your $10 to invest, visit www.stash.app.
Hey, I'm Jason Del Rey. I recently wrapped up Land of the Giants, The Rise of Amazon. In this podcast, we examine how Jeff Bezos turned a small online bookseller into one of the most powerful companies in the world. We start by exploring how Amazon Prime became a service with over 100 million members and the main source of the company's power.
I mean, I think that's kind of what Amazon's banking on, right? That you're just so locked in that you're going to go to any other sites because, I mean, I don't.
And we end the season by pondering the question, is Amazon too big?
You know, and we just don't want to be the United States of Amazon. We just really don't.
Land of the Giants has been recommended by the New York Times, Axios, Wired, and more. It's a candid look at the state of Amazon today, how we got here, and what the future might look like. The entire first season is out now. Find out more and binge it on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back to the Amazon Avenue Winter Meeting Special. I'm Ken Lavin. I'm joined by Lucas Vlahos. And we just talked about some of the signings from today, day four of the winter meetings, including the Mets signing Michael Wacha. And now we're going to talk about some of the trade rumors that are flying around. Mm-hmm. So, Lucas, the Mets are apparently trying to trade Dom Smith.
Good.
We know this because Andy Martino wrote an article that didn't specify who they were trying to trade him to.
So let's translate this. Andy Martino got a text from Jeff Wilpon, and that's it.
I bet he got a text from Jeff Wilpon being like,
"Pump up the market.
We can't move Tom Smith." Erg.
Like. Yeah, we talked about this already. Both sides are better served by moving Dom at this point, right? He doesn't. At this point, he's either a defensively limited corner outfielder, an extremely defensively limited corner outfielder.
Yeah, near unplayably bad defensive corner outfielder.
Or an offensively limited first baseman. He's not better than Pete. There's basically no reason to play him in the outfield with JD Davis, Jeff McNeil, Michael Conforto, Brandon Nimmo, and Jake Marisnyk on the roster. And he was good enough last year that he and has enough prospect pedigree that he should get a chance to start somewhere, probably.
Oh, yeah. So my concern here is I don't know what the market for Dom Smith looks like.
Yeah, first base.
He's kind of a weird fit for trade as far as trade assets go.
I can come up with at least a couple teams that could use the first baseman. Like, there's plenty of I assume they're going to try to trade him for a reliever. Mm-hmm. I could also see them just attaching him to bad salary, like Jed Lowry, who isn't even that bad a salary, but they need to shed money because they're pathetic.
Because they need that money for Rick.
paying $10 million for Jed Lowry to sit on your bench is totally a good investment for a good team. Anyway, but let's assume they trade him for a reliever. But like plenty of bad teams who don't really have any first base guys. I could see the Tigers. Maybe you ask about, like, Joe Jimenez. The Rangers could use a first baseman. They're not necessarily bad, but they could use one, and maybe they'd move Leclerc, though that's hard because of his contract. The Orioles could use help anywhere, but they don't really have anyone worth trading Dom for off the top of my head.
Mykal Givens, does that float your boat?
I thought they got rid of him already. I might be wrong.
No, but no, I'm pretty sure he's still around. That's okay. Extreme Allison McCaig energy.
That's true. What are the Blue Jays doing at first base? Smoke's a free agent. And Vladito is still a third baseman for the moment. Maybe he'd fit there.
So we're looking at mostly teams that are rebuilding.
Yeah, because presumably the Mets want to trade him for a reliever that helps right now. And
doesn't cost much.
Right, doesn't cost much, and any contender isn't going to want to move that piece because that's a good piece for a contender. Like, relievers are the last piece you add as you're building a contender and the first piece you should move when you're rebuilding. And also, like, lots of teams are already pretty set at first base. So
yeah, no, it's a very strong position throughout baseball.
I mean, I guess the Pirates gave up on playing Josh Bell in the outfield completely, so they're not even a fit for Dom anymore.
Jeff and Jared, and for all you kids out there, speculated that the Pirates might want to move him, though, since he's going to get expensive. Yeah, he's going to get expensive in arb quick.
So the Pirates would move him already? That's fucking pathetic, too. That's ridiculous.
They're also probably headed into a rebuild.
I mean, yeah, but
they just hired a new GM. I just opened up Fangraphs. What I want.
I don't know why you trade Josh Bell to rebuild. At least not as your first rebuilding move. Like, trading Starling Marte makes sense. He's 32. Why are you trading Josh Bell to rebuild? That's dumb.
That's solely salary.
God damn it.
Yep.
So point is, we don't really know where Dom's going to go. It doesn't seem like a particularly robust market.
But, yeah, somebody will take a shot on him.
Yeah, someone.
Do
the Mariners need a first baseman? No, they just gave Evan White that contract.
Evan White, Vogelbach still kicking around there.
Vogelbach is a first baseman by the loosest possible definition of the word first baseman. Talk about a chunky boy.
You know how I'm fond of quoting Moneyball and saying that it's first base, it's not that hard?
Incredibly hard.
You have to be like a special kind of terrible to
Vogelbach
unplayable at first base. Did, but
Vogelbach hit 30 home runs last year and had and was only 10% better than league average on offense. That's like hard to do.
He's a big boy.
Yeah, he's a very big boy. I don't know what they're gonna do with Dom.
Yeah, it's just a weird fit.
He's very Rays, but they also have like. Yeah,
that's the problem, is that there's a lot of these guys floating around. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the teams who could use, you know, a pre-arb player at first base at some point theoretically in the future, the rebuilding teams, like, a lot of them have, like, two or three of these guys.
I mean,
Tom's pretty good. Somebody should want to take him.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't mind trading for, like, Emilio Pagan from the Rays or something. Like, that wouldn't be awful.
We're entering the part of the off season where, like, I just want them to have, like, warm bodies.
Yeah, exactly.
Warm bodies with, like, big league experience. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Instead of relying on, like, well, Chris Flexen's gone, but, like,
Corey Oswalt,
Ty Bachelor.
I still think Bachelor might be something eventually, maybe. But, yeah.
The command's got to jump, but. Yeah. Stranger things have happened.
This is not the most frustrating rumor of the day, by the way. To our audience, we should probably talk about the other one.
Oh yeah, we've been rambling about Dom for the majority of the segment now. Lucas, would you mm-hmm. like to share with us?
I swear to God, if the Mets trade Brandon Nimmo for Starling Marte, I might actually have an aneurysm on the spot.
So you traded for Starling Marte in your AAOP.
What did I trade? I did Andrés Giménez, Wilson Ramos, and Mark Vientos for Starling Marte and Keone Kella. Mm-hmm. And then I turned around and signed Grandal. Like, look, I like Starling Marte. I think he's a good player. I think mm-hmm. he's an upgrade in center for this team. He is not worth Brandon Nimmo. There's no way he's worth Brandon Nimmo. It's just not true.
Also, yeah, no.
The Pirates probably would want Francisco Alvarez too, because they're desperate for a catcher. So
yeah, so the other implication was that maybe the catcher they were referring to in that rumor was Tomas Nito.
Oh God.
And if that's true, yeah, and like the quote was all Neil Huntington from The Athletic, in The Athletic, the quote was all about how, like, they need a controllable catcher who, like, is at least good at one thing.
I mean,
hell. Which fits the bill.
All right, well, let's spitball this here. Could you convince the Pirates to do Marte for, like, Giménez, Nito, and maybe they would take Jed Lowry's money to offset things? I don't know. Maybe. Probably need to throw in one more prospect there. Like, give him Vientos, too. I don't care.
Yeah.
And then you could turn around and sign Jason Castro as your new backup catcher. You put Marte in center. You put Nimmo in left. You put Conforto in right. McNeil at third. Davis on the bench. You're still short one bench infielder, I think. I mean, that's in the realm of possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But don't fucking trade Brandon Nimmo for Starling Marte.
So, like, the upgrade there is minimal at best, right?
Yeah.
At absolute best. Marte's biggest fan offensively.
I really like Starling Marte. I think he's a good player. I'm someone who still has a soft spot for stolen bases because my favorite player growing up was, unfortunately, Jose Reyes.
It happened to many of us.
Yeah, yeah. Which, I mean, pre all the bad stuff, he was just a true joy to watch. So I still have a soft spot for Burners. The other issue is that Marte, like, they're probably going to convince themselves, the way they're probably talking themselves into this is that, oh, Marte's a good center fielder where his defense is on a 4-year decline and he's going to be 32. So I'm not even sure the defensive upgrade is going to be that significant anymore.
Like, I think it's like a half grade at best, because Marte's never, or at least during the decline, hasn't been like that much better than average?
He was like a slightly above average center fielder in 2017. Oh, he was basically the same in 2018, and last year he was bad in center. How much worse than Brandon Nimmo was he in center? Just going, and defensive metrics are bad, et cetera, et cetera. Blah, blah, blah. ECR 150. He was worse than Brandon Nimmo in center last year. In a small sample size for Nimmo. But, like, just please don't do this. Please don't do this, Mets.
It has big Mets energy.
Because they don't think Brandon Nimmo is good. They haven't thought Brandon Nimmo is good ever. Because they're dumb. Because Terry Collins still has a role in the front office and is sitting there like, man, he doesn't play defense in center field. He's not fast.
I think Jeff Wilpon is like the last person on earth who hasn't read Moneyball.
You know, I could actually see Jeff being the more modern mind in this case, arguing in defense of Nimmo, while Fred and Terry are arguing that he's bad.
Maybe.
I just
know for a fact that Fred Wilpon has read Moneyball.
He has? That's shocking to me.
Yeah, that
actually
was reported in one of the articles that he
really wrote. I would not have guessed that. This is bad. Don't do this.
We talk a lot about shuffling deck chairs. This would be shuffling deck chairs.
This would be shuffling deck chairs and throwing one of them overboard in the process.
Yes.
So you made your team worse. Good job. There was one more rumor. It's related to what we talked about yesterday. Apparently they've had a discourse about Carlos Correa.
They're not going to win.
Source described Mets, Astros, Carlos Correa rumors as more fantasy baseball than reality. You don't say. Shocking that Martino reports this original rumor, and then DeComo comes in and says, no.
Question, why are the Astros always linked to the Mets in these things? Weren't they, like, major suitor on, like, Syndergaard for a while?
I mean, Syndergaard fits their acquisition type to a T.
Yeah, they're bold. Lugo was their guy for a little while.
There were rumors about Lugo for a while. Yeah, have you ever been in like a dynasty fantasy league, or is that not really your bag?
That's not really my thing.
All right, so for anyone who's in a dynasty baseball league, you usually know who the less savvy owners are, and when you need something, or you know they're thinking about doing something that maybe isn't the most well advised, you come calling. See what you can get done. Pretty sure the Astros in this scenario are the particularly
savvy. Yeah, they've
done
it about six times.
Yep, and the Mets are the 43-year-old guy who has three kids and does this as a side hobby and hasn't updated himself on how baseball actually works since, like, the 90s. I think that's actually a pretty apt description of the Mets, if I'm being totally honest.
They're a relic of, you know, 80s ownership baseball.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's much more to it than that.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure Jeff Lund, is he still in charge there? Whoever's in charge there is like just smells blood in the water anytime Brody says something.
Yep.
The Mets aren't getting Carlos Correa.
No.
I think that's
for reference. For reference, we discussed yesterday why they don't.
Yeah, go listen to that pod. I know that's the last thing on the agenda, but before we wrap up, I did want to mention the Josh Lindblom signing, which I am a touch annoyed about. I don't know if you have any strong feelings on the matter.
I am currently looking up his Fangraphs page.
So Josh Lindblom was a failed pitcher who went to Korea. Instead of Korea, I said Korea. That's a very unfortunate sequence of discussions here.
Korea is going to be the name of the episode, by the way.
Great, perfect. I'm so glad my plugs could be turned into something useful. So Lindblom was a failed pitcher, went over, to Doosan Bears, I believe it was, in 2018, and put up like really, really, really nice strikeout to walk ratios. And like, he's probably not good. He's probably just a mediocre back end starter, but the Brewers got him for 3 years and $9 million, essentially, with some incentives. And the Brewers did kind of the same thing with Eric Thames a couple years ago, right? And they got him for $315, which is pennies, and they got some good value out of him. I can't remember the last time the Mets actually legitimately investigated a foreign signing. Who is that weird, the Japanese pitcher with the Ishiguro with the splitter? That's not a very good
Meritus, right?
No. They had a Japanese reliever years ago, and I feel like that's the last time they had a notable foreign signing. I'll Google it real quick. My point being is that the Mets seem to always neglect these.
They got markets. Burned by Kaz Matsui in what, like 2005. 2004.
Ryota Igarashi.
That soured the experience.
So the Mets signed Ryota Igarashi in 2010, and I don't know that they've really made a significant foreign signing since.
Yeah, that's
As a team that's cash strapped, you'd hope that they'd investigate every potential avenue of adding talent, and they don't.
Especially Korea. That's where bargains were made. Like,
yeah, I mean, look, like Lindholm's probably bad, but
at that, who cares? At
right.
3 years, $9 million, who cares? Like, teams eat that for 1 year.
No, the Mets don't eat bad money, Ken.
They don't at all, as evidenced by the fact that they're trying to trade Jed Lowry so that they can sign Rick Porcello.
No, now it's to sign Dylan Betances.
Which gets
an even deeper sigh, but.
That makes me deeply uneasy.
So Dylan. Here, over under 2.5 spring training outings before Dylan Betances is done for the year.
No. How that goes is he gets hurt in week two of the season.
Oh, so you're saying he makes it all the way through spring training?
No. He needs to get hurt at a time in which, you know, they want him to pitch. So that they can force him to pitch through it.
Okay. No, so what you're saying is he gets through spring training, he tweaks something like 2 weeks into the season, and his calf is hurting or his Achilles is hurting. They make him pitch through it, and then he actually tears it, and he's done.
Yep.
Okay.
Or something to that effect, that's how that would go, given. Yep. We're going to get to the point in the off season in which I just want warm bodies and I don't care who they are. Like, every year, like where everybody's off the board and we're still looking at like Jacob Rehm having like the sixth guy in the pen spot.
Look, if you're going to spend the AAV to get Dylan Betances, just sign Will Harris, please.
I would much rather Will Harris. Yes.
Every day, I'm just like afraid to open up MLB trade rumors and see, all right, what stupid shit have the Mets done today?
Oh, I just want them to do something because like I'm bored by this point.
We're getting this in under the wire, and it's actually fitting because I meant to mention Eno's tweet about this. So Eno Saris had a tweet saying, it just makes too much sense for the Astros to trade for Jed Lowry. 50 seconds ago,
Athletics
interested in Jed Lowry.
I mean, why not, right?
They don't need Dom Smith, though, so what do we send to the Athletics for them to take Jed Lowry?
It would have to be prospects, right?
It's only $10 million, maybe.
It's only $10 million, and if they can get like a legitimate prospect for him, maybe.
Maybe.
Especially,
you also know
he'd
go back to Oakland and post a 4-win season.
Oh, no, of course.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. And like they generally understand things, like guys of his age need rest and. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I would be very happy for Jed Lowry.
I would much rather just hold on to him and use him as...
Me too, but I also worry that he just, like, never ends up on the field.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. I don't know if it does.
I mean, I'm... With the roster as currently constructed, I would actually just make him the starter at third base, but give him an off day every week, give Cano an off day in every week.
Yeah, give some aggressive maneuvering.
You could absolutely give Cano and Lowry an off day every week and give Conforto, Alonso, Nimmo, and McNeil an off day every other week, and in that way get J.D. Davis 4 starts a week. And I think... baseball seems to be the last sport to adopt the whole load management thing. I think the Mets could do it very well, but they won't.
And honestly, I say this based on absolutely nothing because he has no track record yet, but I could imagine Beltran understanding timeshares a lot better.
It'd be tough to understand anything less well than Mickey Callaway. On that note, we should probably wrap
up. On that note, yes. We're going to wrap things up. So please check out the site at AmazonAvenue.com, as well as all of its accounts on social media. They are at Amazon Avenue on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I'm Kenneth Lavin. You can find me at KenLavin91 on Twitter. I was joined today by Lucas Vlahos. Lucas, where can people find you?
LVlahos343.
You can find this show, as well as all the other great shows the site has to offer, on the Amazon Avenue feed on Apple Podcasts, where we also encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe to the pod. And until next time, let's go Mets, and please do something Mets. Please.
Are you troubled by strange hockey trades in the middle of the night?
Do you experience feelings of dread about NHL free agency?
Have you or your family ever seen a New York Islanders game?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your mobile device and subscribe to Lighthouse Hockey Podcast from SB Nation today.
Our courteous and efficient hosts are ready to serve all of your Islander needs and worries.
Lighthouse Hockey Podcasts for New York Islanders fans.